Well, once again, good morning. We're glad to have you joining us this morning, and it's a privilege to be able to share with you from God's Word this morning. As Deneric mentioned earlier in the announcements, he's taking a few weeks off to do some writing, and so he's graciously allowed Will and Dave, Bax, Brooks, and myself to preach during this time. And so please pray for Deneric. I know he'd appreciate that. Pray that he would be productive. Pray that he would be rejuvenated during this time. And we pray that you'll be blessed over the course of these next few weeks as we have the opportunity to share with you from God's Word. And I also wanted to make sure to give a special shout out to all the dads out there. Happy Father's Day, dads. Now, I can't speak for you, but I know from my experience, at first it kind of felt like you're just thrust into it. But over time, you kind of grow into that role and just at some point embrace it full on. And that's kind of where I feel I'm at. And one of those things that I'd say that I'm really embracing full on at this point is the privilege and duty of telling dad jokes. You can ask my daughters, you can ask my wife, ask my son too. It's something I really enjoy. So I thought I'd take just a moment to share a few dad jokes with you this morning. And if you don't know what a dad joke is, it's one of those jokes that you have to tell because you honestly think it's funny. But then you also have to tell because you know you're going to get a certain reaction, whether that's just kind of a groan or a chuckle or something. So anyway, just wanted to take a moment and start out by sharing a few dad jokes with you. Now, this first one's one of my favorites. What time do you go to the dentist? 2:30. 2:30. I love that one. I had a friend in high school told that, so. That's one of my go-tos. Did you hear about the guy who invented the knock-knock joke? He won the Nobel Prize. All right, let's see what else we have here. Oh, I've got a great joke about construction, but I'm still working on it. If you see a crime at an Apple store, does that make you an eyewitness? I like that one. That's a new one for me. I like that one. That's good. Want to hear a joke about paper? Never mind. It's terrible. Want to hear a joke about pizza? Never mind. It's too cheesy. All right, I hope you're still there. Hope you're still there. Last one, I promise. What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. All right, well, there's enough dad jokes for today. Again, happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there, and thank you for bearing with me and hopefully surviving that opening there. Well, I have to say just a quick shout out to my dad. Happy Father's Day, Dad, if you're watching this. It's just such a wonderful thing, not only being a dad, but as a child, having that relationship with your dad. And unfortunately, the older I get, the more I realize that's not always the case. And it's something I've kind of taken for granted over the years, I think. And so anyway, Dad, thank you just for being a great godly example for me. One of the things that I love about my relationship with my dad is, you know, sometimes we'll have some deeper conversations, but a lot of times we don't even necessarily need to say anything. It's good to have those conversations and to, you know, say I love you and that sort of thing. But I love that, you know, I just know that he's always there for me, that he always, you know, has my back, always cares for me. I love kind of that trust and security that I feel in that relationship, just knowing that. And I know that I can talk to him about anything, and he's always going to be there, and he's always going to listen and hear what I have to say and still love me and accept me. So anyway, thank you, Dad, for being a great example of God's love in my life. And you know, that's something we all long to have, those great relationships with our earthly fathers. But it's something we also long for with our Heavenly Father as well. To have this intimate relationship that's full of trust and security, knowing that God, our Heavenly Father, is always there for us, that He's always got our back, that He loves us, and that no matter what, He's always going to be there. And at any time, we can tell Him anything. And you know, we have a wonderful opportunity for that with prayer. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer. And today I wanted to start that discussion by talking about specifically, what do we ask God for in prayer? What can we ask our Heavenly Father for? And to do this, I want to take a look, and actually a lot of us over the next few weeks will be looking at some of the prayers of the epistles, some of the Apostle Paul's prayers. And so today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there with me to Ephesians chapter 3. And as we look at this passage today, we're going to see three things that the Apostle Paul asks God the Father for in his prayers that we can learn from as well. So we'll look for three things today from Ephesians chapter 3 that we can pray for as well. So we're going to start in Ephesians 3, verse 14. So I invite you to look there with me. And Paul introduces his prayer this way. He says this, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." So Paul introduces his prayer here this way, and he uses this phrase right at the beginning, "for this reason." And so the question is, for what reason? Why does Paul say this here? And to see the answer for that, we need to go back and look at the first three chapters so far of Ephesians. We're kind of just jumping in here today. So if we look back, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's been talking about all the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ as believers. And he talks about the great power that we have at work within us by the Spirit. And then in chapter 2, he gives this beautiful description of the gospel and talks about how now both Jews and Gentiles have been formed together into one body, into one temple, one dwelling in the Lord. And then in chapter 3, he starts off with the same phrase, "for this reason." But then he kind of goes off on a bunny trail for a little bit, and he talks about his ministry to the Gentiles specifically and in sharing the gospel to them. And so after talking about this, he comes back here, "for this reason." So what is the reason he's talking about? Well, specifically, where he had just left off was this idea of Jews and Gentiles being formed together into this one body, the church, through Christ. And it's such a beautiful description. And then Paul talks about his own ministry in this. And so Paul is coming to it from this angle. He sees the beauty of what it is that God has done here by bringing Jews and Gentiles together into this one body. And so that's where he starts from. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father." So he's going to the Lord in prayer. And this verb for bow here, by the context, we can tell that that's not just a one-time thing. It's not, okay, I'm going to pray for you one time and I'm done. This is a continual or customary thing. Paul is going before God over and over and over again on behalf of these Ephesian believers. And so what is it that he's asking God? Again, we're going to see three things here. And we see the first thing starting in verse 16. So here's the first thing he asks God for. "That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." So what's the first thing that Paul asks for in his prayers? It's that the Ephesian believers would be strengthened with power. Strengthened with power. And Paul gives the means by which this happens. It's through His Spirit in your inner being. In other words, this strength or power that he's asking for isn't just your average kind of strength. It's something that can only come from God. It's something that only comes by the Spirit. And then he also gives the reason that he's asking this. "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Now when we talk about the indwelling of Christ here, whenever I hear that word dwell or indwelling, I always think about the Spirit, right? Because we know that the Spirit indwells us as believers, lives inside of us when we put our trust in Christ and from that moment on. But here Paul seems to be talking about something that is an ongoing, deeper kind of indwelling, something that grows more and more every day in the life of the believer. As one commentator put it, this is saying that the perfections of Christ's humanity are progressively and increasingly to be manifest in every believer, a deeper dwelling of Christ by means of the Spirit's powerful work in their lives, Christ being formed in the believer and the believer being conformed to Christ. In other words, as we experience more and more of the Spirit's strengthening and power, we become more and more like Christ, and Christ dwells in us more fully. This is an amazing gift that we have as believers. What an amazing privilege. And Paul even prays for it here for the Ephesian believers. And it's something we can pray for ourselves and for other fellow believers as well. And in this day and age, with everything that's going on, do we know of others who need to be strengthened with this kind of power that only God can provide? Do we ourselves even need this strengthening? Absolutely. And so this is something that, just like Paul does here, we can pray on behalf of other believers and for ourselves as well, that they might be strengthened with power by the Spirit and through the indwelling of Christ. So we see that Paul's first thing that he asks for here is that the Ephesian believers would be strengthened with power. The second thing he's going to talk about and pray for is that they would know the love of Christ more fully. Look with me in the middle of verse 17. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul's asking that they would know Christ's love more deeply. Now, he recognizes that they already know it to an extent. He even says that they're already being rooted and grounded in love. But he wants them to know it even more fully and more deeply. And I've used this analogy before, but I think of the ocean. When you go out there and you see the waves, and you can know that the ocean is deep just by looking at it. And you can know it's deep even just by looking at it and dipping your toes in. But it's another kind of knowledge as you start to actually wade into the ocean, as you start to swim in the ocean. And it's a whole nother level if you were to take scuba diving gear and go down to the ocean floor, or take a submarine and scour the ocean depths and see all the amazing creatures God made down there. You see, we know it on one hand, but there's a much deeper level that we still have yet to know and experience. And it's something that we can never exhaust either. And that's kind of the paradox of it. As much as we know about the love of Christ, there's so much more that we have yet to know and to experience. And so Paul is asking that they would just continue to go deeper and deeper. Bible scholar Harold Honer expressed it this way: to comprehend the love of Christ is beyond the capability of any human being. The very fact that Christ's love expressed itself in His willingness to die on behalf of sinners is in itself beyond one's comprehension. No matter how much knowledge we have of Christ and His work, His love surpasses that knowledge. The more we know of His love, the more we are amazed by it. Paul is not denigrating knowledge, for it is greatly emphasized in this epistle. He even requests it in this very prayer, but here he wishes to stress Christ's love as that which is beyond human comprehension. And even though this is paradoxical, even though the love of Christ is beyond human comprehension, this is something we're called to get to know, to experience more every day as those who believe in Christ. And not just to know it more, but to live it out too, in the way that we share this love with each other. Which begs the question, how are we reflecting the love of Christ today? Particularly, I think of maybe those, even within the church, that we disagree with. Are we showing grace to each other? Are we demonstrating the love of Christ that unites us as a body? Let's continue to get to know the love of Christ more, and let's continue to live out and reflect that love more and more each day as well. And so we see so far two things Paul's been praying for up to this point. Number one, he's been praying that the Ephesian believers would be strengthened with power. Secondly, he prays that they may know the love of Christ more deeply. And finally, he's going to pray that God would be glorified in them. Take a look with me at verse 19. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so the third thing that Paul asks for in this passage is that God would be glorified in the Ephesian believers. You look at the end of verse 19 again. He asks that they may be filled with all the fullness of God. And this is one of those phrases I just had to pause as I was studying it and think, okay, what does Paul mean here by filled with all the fullness of God? Because again, positionally in Christ, we're already indwelt by the Spirit, like we talked about. So we're already filled with God's fullness on the one hand. So what is it that Paul's getting at here? And one thing that I found helpful was one commentator showed the parallel between this passage and some of the tabernacle and temple imagery in the Old Testament. So if you think back, the tabernacle and the temple, they were built, they were constructed together first, and then what happened? Then God's divine presence filled that. His glory filled those places. And so in a similar way, Paul in Ephesians 2, at the end of that chapter, talks about how Jews and Gentiles have been brought together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So there's that same imagery, and so they've been constructed together in that sense by God. And so in the same way, God's divine presence is to fill us, both individually and corporately as a church. And it's a beautiful thing to see. As we see God's love on full display in the way we serve each other, and the way we love and take care for each other, and just express that. And so it begs the question, you know, how are we reflecting God's glory in the way we relate to one another as a church? Are we functioning as a body? And just how can we continue to do that better? And so we ask those questions, and we pray that God would continue to be glorified in us, both individually and corporately as a church. And these are some big asks. These are some big things that Paul is asking for in this passage. But I love how he ends it too, reminding us that as big as these requests are, he reminds us that we serve an all-powerful God. Look at verse 20 again. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. I just love that passage. It, you know, we think we have this picture of what God can do, and he can just do so much more. You know, we still continue to lack in our knowledge of just how awesome, how powerful he is. And so here Paul's reminding us that God is able to do abundantly far more than all that we ask or think. So we've seen these three requests that Paul has in this passage for the Ephesian believers. We've seen him ask that they would be strengthened with power, that they would know the love of Christ more deeply, and that God would be glorified in them. And so, as we look towards application this morning, my challenge for you and for myself as well would be to pray this prayer on behalf of somebody else this week. Think of somebody else in our church maybe. Maybe it's somebody God's just laid on your heart recently. Or maybe even, you know, just randomly go through the church directory and pray for somebody in our church and pray this prayer for them. Pray that they would be strengthened with power this week. Pray that they would know the love of Christ more deeply. And pray that God would be glorified in them and in us as a church body, both locally as Redeemer Bible Church and worldwide. See, we have an awesome opportunity to have this strengthening with power by the Spirit, to know the love of Christ more deeply, and to allow God to be glorified in us, which, again, all of these things are only things that He can bring about. And so what an amazing opportunity we have to come before our Heavenly Father on a daily, moment-by-moment basis and bring these prayers and any other requests that we have and praises before Him. And so my encouragement and my challenge would be to do that. As we pray to God, as we talk to Him, our Heavenly Father, to remember these things that Paul prays for here, being strengthened with power, to know the love of Christ more deeply, and to see God glorified in us individually and corporately. And so we lift this prayer up to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. And to Him be glory in the church, here at Redeemer, and worldwide, and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we just thank You again for this opportunity to hear from Your Word this morning. And Lord, I pray it's an encouragement to those who would hear it. Lord, we thank You for giving us Your Word, and we thank You for this, even the models of prayer that we see in it. Thank You for this example from the Apostle Paul, and just to hear his heart for these fellow believers that he was serving and writing to. And so, Father, I just pray that that You would do the same thing in our own lives and in the lives of those in our church, Lord. Again, just as we've heard this morning, Lord, in our lives, in the lives of those others in our church, we pray that You would just strengthen us with power, the kind of power that only You can provide by Your Spirit and through Christ in us. We pray that You would help us to know Your love, to know the love of Christ more deeply every day. We pray that You would be glorified in us, Lord. Again, none of this we recognize, Lord, none of this we can accomplish on our own, in our own strength. We need You for this. So thank You for the privilege of prayer, the privilege of coming before You. Help us not to take that for granted, but to each day, every moment, just come before You in submission to You. And so we ask these things and lift them up to You in the mighty name of Jesus and by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Amen.